Welcome to Eno's Living Legacies Limited Edition podcast series. This podcast is part of our centennial celebration, marking 100 years of legacy, innovation, and impact for the Eno Center for Transportation. Founded by William P. Eno in 1921, from our inception, we focused on bringing the brightest minds in transportation together and building the capacity of the transportation industry through our education and training programs. Through this oral history project and podcast, we highlight some of those who have been part of Eno through the years. From board members to alumni to staff members, each participant reflects on Eno's history and impact through the years. Enjoy your listen.
Hi, everyone. I'm John Porcari. I'm interviewing Mort Downey today. And for those of you that don't know Mort, and there can't be many in transportation, he's a living legend. Mort served for 8 years as Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation in the Clinton administration. He served as the executive director and CFO of the MTA in New York, at the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, and as staff in the House of Representatives. He's been mentor to a generation, and as I like to tell people, I still want to be Mort when I grow up. And as we talk about the evolution of institutional governance here, Mort, your career really spans that. Transportation institutions and the governance have been major areas of focus for you with the MTA, the Amtrak Reform Council, the Board of Directors for WMATA. But those institutional reform and governance issues don't get as much attention as projects or funding. Why are institutions and governance so important in transportation? And what can we do to get more attention on this critical issue?
Yeah, I think it's important we do flag it as an issue. I've been involved in a lot of different organizations over a long number of years, many of them kind of at the cutting edge of multimodal. I started at the Port Authority in New York, which was at that time about the only multimodal organization around. We had bridges and tunnels and seaports and railroad and other activities. And it's been that kind of change that I've tried to see put in place, because it's been my experience, that's what works. But you have to kind of step back and say, is it in fact what makes it work? Part of what makes an organization work is, it does it have a good mission? Does it have a good strategy? But also, is it organized well to do what it needs to do? And can you make changes in an organization? It's not always easy.
Absolutely. It can be very difficult. But what's the danger if organizations don't change and adapt to what is clearly a rapidly changing transportation system?
Yeah, you can find yourself, if you're only organized around solving the problems of the past, you're going to be in the past. You're not going to be effective. If you're not effective, people are not going to pay attention to you. You're not going to get the support you need. You're not going to get the results you're looking for.
That's absolutely true. And one of the other things that you served on was the National Academy of Public Administration in 2008 had an intergovernmental panel on transportation finance. How was that framed, that work framed? What lessons did it give us? And in particular, is it relevant to some of the challenges that we have today?
I think it was a relevant effort, given the times. This was 2008 when reauthorization bill was pending before the Congress, and the Academy was asked to convene the various interest groups and see if there was consensus around an approach to paying for a reauthorization bill. As I recall, that bill didn't wind up getting paid for, so I guess we didn't achieve our purpose, but we did get all of the interest groups, ASHTO, APTA, League of Cities, Conference of Mayors, Governors Association, all to contribute, all to sit around the table and share ideas, which I think was what you really needed to do to get various levels involved. We were not terribly pleased with the result. I think we achieved some consensus. What also happened, unfortunately, was DOT, through its connections with NAPA and its then executive director, hijacked the project. And while we were talking to each other, they were generating their own ideas. So the outcome was kind of an unwieldy mix between business as usual with reform and major change into privatization And it was not as successful as it could have been. I think we had the right ideas. We didn't have the right mechanism to make it work.
It certainly would not have been the first panel that didn't come up with a specific consensus recommendation on how to pay for the transportation system and boldly publicly advocate it. But it certainly sounds like it was worthwhile nonetheless.
It was a good discussion among the players that were there. And I think some of it wound up being reflected in the bill.
Well, let's focus a little bit on USDOT itself, which mm-hmm. is famously stovepiped with separate modal administrations and different stakeholder groups. There have been proposals before to profoundly restructure it. I know that you've been involved in at least two of them, one in the Carter administration and one in 1995. Congress didn't really go there. And it always occurred to me, coming from a state DOT in Maryland that actually was intermodal, that USDOT was a bit of a step backwards in how it actually operated across those stovepipes. What lessons did you take from the two attempts that you were a part of to reorganize DOT and realign both horizontally and then vertically, the federal, state, local part of it?
Well, neither of those efforts were successful, indicating how hard it is to make that change. In the Carter administration, we had passed the first Surface Transportation Act, the 1978 Act, that for the first time brought highways and transit into the same reauthorization bill. And we thought, well, now's the time to get them to work together better, and let's reorganize and create a Surface Transportation Administration. We did a lot of handholding within the department with what was then UMTA and Federal Highways. They kind of reluctantly said, yeah, I think we could work together better, but it was not getting a lot of traction on the Hill. And then we got a new secretary who came in, former mayor of Portland. And I remember Neil saying, this is the dumbest idea I've ever heard of. I don't want to hear it ever again. So that was the end of that discussion. And I think to some extent, Federal Highway and UMTA and the other parts of the department went off in their own directions. The effort in the 90s, a little more successful, but again, not in the direction we originally set out. If you remember the Republican takeover of the Congress in 1994, I will remember it very well. My grandson was born the day before that election took place, so I can always pin down what his birth date was. We got the strong message that Congress was going to restructure and reorganize the federal government. They didn't like the departments, and part of the message was, we're going to kill at least three of them. We don't care which three. And the White House direction that we got, and I happened to be out of the country at the time. This was just getting started. I get a phone call from one of the assistant secretaries who said, you won't believe it, but we were called down to the White House yesterday. They're taking this effort seriously, and they're ready to protect a few departments, Health and Human Services and Treasury and maybe the Defense Department. But they said, the rest of you guys are on your own. Come up with your own best strategy. So we took it as an opportunity to say, if you are going to have a DOT, how might you put it together better? And a lot of mostly talking to ourselves, but we came up with a very complex restructuring. If I remember right, it was going to be land, sea, and air. The surface modes all merged in together so they could work together better. The air was basically saying, let's have a government corporation to run air traffic control and an FAA to run safety. And on the seas, we still had the Coast Guards. We said, can you guys at least pretend to work better together with MARAD and we'll make this work. We did a report. We did briefings. We ultimately sent up legislation. Its half-life was one day because the authorizing committees on both the House and the Senate said, no thanks. We're not interested in that. We like it the way it is. And we said, okay, we really, you know, we like it the way it is too, as long as you're not going to kill us. Let's see how we could work together better. And over the next year, and again with a new secretary, Rodney Slater, we really emphasize more how do we, the one DOT concept. We don't care so much about the boundaries that are there. We care about the results we need to get and how we need to work together better. And we certainly care, as you said, the horizontal is one set of issues, the vertical is another. How do we get the relationships we need at the state level, at the local level? A lot of the reason that a change doesn't occur by moving the boxes around is certain levels of government think they own certain boxes. State DOTs, particularly some of the less advanced ones, say, we like Federal Highway, they're our friends. And we don't like Federal Transit because those guys belong to the cities and the public agencies. So we like to keep the boxes the way they are. And we came back and said, we don't care about the boxes. We all care about the results. What are we getting in the way of investment? What are we getting in the way of environmental improvement? Let's focus on that and not on shape of the boxes. And I think the 4 years thereafter, we made a lot of progress with one DOT. Some of it even carried over into the next administration, which I always enjoyed hearing from Norm Mineta and people who were in the department at that time that, hey, this one DOT idea is a pretty good one. So it doesn't have to be redesigning the plumbing. It has to be how do you work with your constituencies? How do you work with your customers, and what are your goals? What are you really trying to achieve? That's as much a matter of importance as to how the organization chart might look.
Spoken like a true deputy secretary, Mort, somebody who's chief operating officer and has to keep all of those elements flying in loose formation, at least on any given day. And that's a really compelling story of an almost existential crisis where you had an administration, a White House that said the DOT might go away. So reinvent yourself. If you fast forward to today and you think about what is arguably a truly existential crisis, climate change, and also the equity impacts, positive and negative, of transportation, do you think that tees up the kind of rethinking, the kind of organizational and institutional governance discussions that'll better serve us in the future? Do you see an opening there? And do you have any suggestions for your successors moving forward?
Yeah, I mean, that's going to be a challenge for DOT, but it's going to be a challenge really for all of government. Climate change is not just a transportation issue. It's a societal issue. It's an economic issue. I think we will see in the Biden administration focus on it in that fashion. And what DOT leadership has to do is figure out how they become part of that. How do they fit into the picture? I go back to the Clinton administration. One of our major initiatives was the Partnership for a New Generation of Vehicles, which, quite frankly, if it had moved forward the way we wanted it, we'd have a lot more electric vehicles and non-polluting vehicles on the roads today. But that was done as a whole-of-government approach, not managed out of the White House, but definitely led at that level, and each department contributing what they needed to do. DOT is really good on regulatory issues with National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. Energy Department has the strong research investment in place. And what we had to do was to put all that together. And I think that's, you know, there's no single answer, but I think focusing on what it is you want to achieve and then having some flexibility as to how to manage that is what's really important.
That great point, and one consistent theme through our discussion here today, is that institutional change can happen through workarounds, through the whole of government approach, through strong leadership. You certainly exhibited that, and I think it is consistent from one administration to another that when you have that whole of government approach and a common problem set that you're working on, you can build in those workarounds in governance that, albeit temporary, they can actually get things done.
And once they're in place, they set up a pattern for how you continue to govern in the future.
Yeah, well said. So if this really is a time, in Franklin Delano Roosevelt's terms, for bold, persistent experimentation, maybe those are lessons from your experience that carry forward.
I'd say that's true.
Thanks, Mort. It's been great, and it's always great to talk to you, and thanks for passing on your experience.
Thanks, John, and I particularly thank Eno. Eno's been around even longer than I have, and to look back over 100 years and say, now how can we make it work better is a major contribution.
Thank you for listening, and find out more about our centennial celebration at 100years.enotrans.org.